We've been doing this series called Surge. And if you Google it, according to Google, surge means to suddenly and powerfully. I like those two words. Because I don't want anything done. If it's done with weakness, then somebody can stop it. If it's done with power, nobody can stop it. Right. Suddenly, I like things happening quicker, sooner than later. Right. Suddenly and powerfully to move forward and upward. Yeah. Say, suddenly and powerfully. I'm moving today forward and upward. That's what surge. It's your turn to surge in life. Life is not a camp out, stay where you're at, good or bad. Though the enemy will use that tactic on all of us on either extreme. If you're in a struggle season, a battle season, the devil will tell you that's the season that you'll always be in. It will never get any better. You'll never get ahead. You'll never have more. You'll never be happy. You'll never be successful. This is the best it is. That's the lie of the devil. But in Jesus, the best is yet to come. God said in his word that he knows the plans he has for you. The plans to do good. But I've been here so long. There's a lot of people that have been stuck in situations so long. The man at the Pool of Bethesda had been there for so long. But at one word of Jesus, come on somebody, one truth, one revelation from the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, changed the whole story for him. I don't know about you, but I want our story changed. Amen. And on the flip side, you might be living a great life. And the devil will tell you, you can't stay there. Or this is the best. But in Jesus, even for you, the best is yet to come. Amen. Proverbs 4 says, and again, don't take my word for anything. Challenge everything with the word of God. Because it's not my words that's important. It's the word of God. Matthew 13 that produces seed. And Proverbs 4 says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. We go from glory to glory. God doesn't want you to be an elevator that goes up and down. Up and down, up and down. Did you hear about the old grandpa Amish guy who had never been in the city before? And he had to go into the modern day city he had never been before and decided to take his family. And so they loaded up in their little horse and buggy carriage and off they go to the big city they had never been. And as they approached, they were so amazed at how big the buildings were, how large. And they went into a store. And they walked in, and they were just overwhelmed, didn't know what to say. And so the grandpa and his grandson went in, and they're looking around amazed at everything, and they see the shiny silver doors. And I think, well, that's the prettiest doors I've ever seen. And then they noticed that there was lights above those doors with numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to 15. And as they were studying and trying to figure out why there was lights, why there is numbers, and why those doors are so shiny, all of a sudden, an old, old 95-year-old woman walking on a cane came up, stood in front of those doors, hit a little button on the wall. It lit up. They were amazed. And all of a sudden, those shiny doors opened up, and she got into this little box. And the doors closed. Then he saw those numbers go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And they were standing thinking, what in the world? And then they saw the numbers go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And they're still wondering between themselves, what is going on? And the shiny doors open. And this beautiful 21-year-old woman stepped off the elevator and walked past them. And their eyes got really big. And the grandpa looked to his grandson and said, go get your grandma quick. You might not understand everything, but I can tell you by the word of God, God didn't call for your life to go up and down and up and down. Stay in the same. No, he wants you to grow. He wants you to improve. He wants you to be better. He wants next year to be better than this year. He wants next year to be better than this year. He wants this year to be better than last year. Oh, well, if God wants it, it will just happen. No. No. Well, I'll go to church and I'll love Jesus, and if he wants me to have it, it'll just happen. No. Right. Hebrews 11 says it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. It's through faith and patience that we receive what God has for us. You can wait one day and get it when you get to heaven, or you can begin to receive it here on this side of eternity in this three-dimensional world that's been corrupted by sin, corrupted by evil, corrupted by the kingdom of darkness. And you can shine bright so other people can see that the Jesus you talk about, he's more than an idea. He's more than a philosopher or a philosophy. He's more than just a church service and a Sunday event. He is the real deal, and he can bring a change into your life. How do I know that? The Bible says that it's the plan and desire of the Father that none should perish. The blood of Jesus could save and is qualified to save everybody. And it's the will of the Father that none should perish, but there still be people who will perish. So it's not a matter of, oh, if God wants it to happen, it'll just happen. That's a religious mindset. I'm not into religion. I define religion as man's rules to get to God. It's not going to work. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. I'm into what does this Bible say, not does what does my tradition say, not what do other people say, not to, oh, whoa, this is the way I've always been taught. Well, if it's not right, set it aside. But this is the way I've been taught for 30 years. Well, praise God. If it's not right, set it aside. Let's challenge everything with the Word of God. It's not that teaching will cause you to be passive. That teaching will cause you to be passive. And the devil laughs as he comes to steal. John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. And people sit by letting the devil do it and say, well, I guess everything comes from the hand of God. God could have stopped it. Let me tell you, no. He created a system, and he gave the authority to Adam, who subjugated or gave it unto the devil. But Jesus came, and he took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he gives it to you and I and said, now you go in my name. And what you bind will be bound in heaven. And what you lose will be loosed in heaven. He's established you with the authority to bring change into your world. It's not you bringing change into other people's world and forcing them to get saved. You can't override other people's will. But I want them to get saved so bad. Why can't I override their will? If God won't, you shouldn't. And when you try, listen to me, when you try, you're on the wrong side of the track. Because it's the devil who tries to override people's will. Did you hear me? It's the devil who tries. People say, well, God is, no, God doesn't limit you. He frees you. The devil limits you. Talk to a drug addict who will sell everything and steal from their own family just to get the next hit. Why? Because they're imprisoned. They're in prison. And if you're here today, I tell you that the name of Jesus is above every name. And at that name, every knee must bow and every tongue confess. And I speak the word of God over your life. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And if you'll repent and receive it right now, you'll be free forever from that pit. Free forever from that pit. Will God forgive me? Yes. Will God deliver me? Yes. He's got something better. You don't have to be bound by any demon, bound by any sickness, bound by any drug. I'm talking to somebody in this 8:30 service. Bound by anything the devil would use against you. For no weapon formed against you will prosper. But you have to do something. The entrance of his word brings light. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. You have to do something. You have to activate God's word. It's your responsibility to catch the vision. You're right of what God's called you to be. Amen. Doesn't the word of God say in the Old Testament, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? That's why you need to pray, God, show me what I need to see. Let me see what I need to see. Let me hear what I need to hear. Let me know what I need to know. But then you don't stop with the prayer. We've talked about you got to get in the word. Because James says, as you study the word of God, it's a reflection, a mirror, not of who you are today, but who you are called to be. The greatness of his potential in your life. Just not your best when everything's going right based on what you can do, but your best based on what when you obey God and what he can do. God wants you to shine. Because you shining, Jesus said, not only am I the light, you're the light to the world. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, you put it up on the stand so that it gives light. See, here's the problem. We all think that we're a light, so we just can shine and look pretty in front of, oh, look at that light. What a light. And we're looking for all the accolades. No, no. You're not there to shine just so that you look good. You're there to shine to benefit those in the room or the house, King James says. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. God wants you to shine and receive and bring into what is in the kingdom of heaven that you will and can receive when you get to heaven. All the things that you can receive when you die and get to heaven. I'll just wait till I get to heaven. You can wait. It'll all happen there. Or you can bring that into this earth. Amen. Didn't Jesus encourage them to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we got to begin to catch the vision, see it, and begin to find our part and do it. And as you obey, James says, faith without works is dead, which means faith without works doesn't bring a change. But faith with works, the reveal. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10. Faith with works, 1 John 5, and this is what gives you victory in your life, even your faith. Faith with obedience taps in to a power that brings a change into your life, that demonstrates a light into people around you that don't maybe even know you or don't even know Jesus. They might not even like Jesus. They maybe have been caught up in the rat trap of religion and been so burnt with a bad taste in their mouth by all the craziness that they have seen from time to time. And I'm here to tell you, there's some weird stuff that happens in the church world, but don't feel bad. There's weird stuff that happens in any world. You would hope it wouldn't happen in the church world, but we still have this treasure, earthen vessels, and there's some people that need to know better. They should do better, and God will deal with them. But don't you let the foolishness of other people, the air of other people, keep you from the truth and light of God's word and the goodness of God in your life. Well, I know this one preacher. He was so corrupt. Sure, there's corrupt in any and everything, but don't you let the bad keep you from the good. There's bad bankers, but you still draw some money from that account. There's bad doctors, but you still go to the one that you go to. There's bad anything, but don't let the bad, the small amount of bad, keep you from the good that God has for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Say, it's my turn. Come on, shout, it's my turn. It's my turn. To surge. And as we study the word of God, we begin to see. Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. That means what you don't see in the natural. Because later it says these men and women of faith did not receive it in their lifetime, but having seen it afar off, they were able to see what God was seeing. Jesus talked about the Pharisees and Sadducees and saying they have ears, but they don't hear. Eyes, natural eyes, but they don't see, which means they do not perceive what was happening. He would speak to them, and they did not understand it. They just, why don't you just make it clear? And in Matthew 13, they asked Jesus, why are you talking parables? And he said, because it's not given to everybody to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Break it down. So break it all down so it'd be so simple and clear so I can understand the mysteries. It don't work that way. Because if it comes easy, you will take it as common. The mysteries of the kingdom that will elevate you and promote you and heal you and advance you and bring you to the place where God wants. It's the secrets of God. They belong to you as a child of God. But those outside the covenant don't have a right to it. Those outside the covenant don't have a right to it. Why do you talk in parables, Matthew 13? Why do you talk in parables? Because it is not given unto them to understand the mysteries. Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. They become yours once you get the mystery. Once you access the mystery, it becomes yours. The principle becomes yours. The tool becomes yours. The rhema becomes yours. The revelation becomes yours. And it's a powerful tool because it's part of the armor. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. It becomes a sword in your hand, not to put on the wall and say, "Woo, look at the shiny sword I got. Look at the shiny." No, no, it might be shiny, but take it down. It's got a fire to it. We see in Revelation that when Jesus returns, it says that he has a fiery sword. And where's that sword? In his mouth. Decree a thing and it shall be established. Bind and it shall be bound. Loose, speak a thing and it goes forth. Just like the centurion soldier told Jesus, "I'm not worthy." Oh, I'm having fun this morning. You having fun? He said, "I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority and over authority. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes." And Jesus said, "Oh, I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel." Why? Because he understood authority and the combination of that and the sword of the word of God being spoken and bringing power. Because Isaiah 55:10 says, just as snow and rain comes from heaven and water the earth and make it produce fruit, so shall my word, verse 11, so shall my word, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that to which it's sent. Just because it is sent, you have to be a receiver of what's being sent to you today. The Bible says that the word of God did not bring any result because they did not receive it and mix their faith with it. He sent his word to heal them, but not everybody got healed. Because you have to receive it. And when you catch the vision, the mystery. See, Jesus talked in parables. And in this journey, in our season of surge, and I appreciate each and every one of you who have been sharing your testimony. One individual came up and said, "Pastor, I'm in my season of surge. Things, are just, you won't believe what's happening." It's just not for them. It's for you too. Amen. But why hasn't it happened yet? Let's take a step. If you believe it, Mark 11, 23 and 24, believe you received it, then you'll have it. Right. Let's begin to embrace the word of God, Matthew 13, because it's the word that you embrace, bring into you. It's like a seed in soil. Yeah. Oh, it'll never happen to me. Oh, hard heart rocks to seed. God's not going to force you. He makes it available. He's prepared a table for you, even in the midst of your enemies. But that's why you have to have your mind renewed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you begin to see the way God sees it. You begin to understand what God is saying. And one day, when you stay in that word, one day, all of a sudden, guess what's going to happen? It's going to become alive to you. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word of God. Joshua 1, 6 through 8. That you'll meditate on the word day and night. Let it be, keep the word in your mouth and meditate on it day and night. Then you will observe. Then you will see what you need to do. And then you will make your way prosperous. You are one revelation, one rhema to the next level of your life. God can give it to you anywhere. I had times in my life. There was one time I was helping my wife out and with chores, and this day I went into a grocery store to get some stuff. And so I'm just walking through the grocery store, minding my own business. And if I'm by myself, one of the things I'll do is I'll just fellowship with the Lord. I'll be praying in the Spirit quietly. I don't walk through the mall or walk through the store praying, "Oh, Jesus." But some of you got to stop doing that. Being spiritual doesn't mean being weird. When Peter talked about being peculiar, that means to be a cut above. Not being, "I'm better than you, but I am shining to help you." Ooh, that was good. Hashtag got my hope. Come on, somebody. And so I'm just minding my own business, and the Spirit of God dropped an instruction on my heart so clearly. Very practical instruction of what I needed to do for the next few months. I wasn't looking for it. I was just fellowship, just praying in spirit, just kind of relaxing and going through my routine. And all of a sudden, he dropped. It captivated my attention so much, catch this, that usually I'll walk away from the cart if I'm doing this, which I don't do a lot, but if I'm doing, and I'll go get something and I'll put it in the cart. That as the Lord began to direct me and just start showing me what I need to do over the next two months. Very practical. Some people are looking for super spiritual direction, and sometimes God is trying to give you the next step, practical direction. And as I was just meditating and thinking, pondering, whatever you want to call it, about God, what God said to me, I got all the way up to pay the food in the cart, and I happened to look down, and I noticed it wasn't my cart. True story. I don't know whose cart I had, but I can only imagine some poor lady seeing me take her cart and go, oh, he can have it. But we look for sometimes major steps, and God will give us one step. We look for all the steps, and he'll just give us the one step. We look for, come on, just give me the list. And he says, no, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll bring a change into your life. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the next level of life and ministry. Follow me. When you follow someone, you don't have to know the steps. You just have to know the one you're following. Right. When you follow a car, you don't have to know the steps, the turns. You just have to know the car you're following. And some of us, when you're following, when you're leading and someone's following you, please don't go through a yellow light. That is so hard on us. I was following somebody, this was a couple years ago, I was following somebody and long trip and we're getting somewhere and they call me, where are you? I said, I'm following your SUV. That's not me. Somewhere I got distracted in the journey and made the assumption, because I didn't know their car well enough, and it looked like another car, and I started following another car, and found myself thinking I was on the right path, was on the wrong path. Some of us have been following the wrong lead. Right? Well, I think I know Jesus. I got a Bible on my counter, opened. Yeah. And you find yourself, and Jesus said, where are you? I'm following you, Jesus. No, you done left me 4 miles back. What you were following might look like me. Do you know, not to sidetrack us, but I enjoy these little trips. Do you know that the word antichrist, which is not only talking about a person, it's also a spirit. We see that in the gospel. In the New Testament, talking about the spirit of Antichrist, and there's going to be a person, Antichrist, and anti in that, in the Greek, we always took it as in someone who's against Christ, but you know, anti, also in that word that's used in the original text, check it out, in the original text, that word anti also means instead of, which means that he could potentially come not saying, I hate Jesus, he could come and saying, I am Jesus. Instead of, in fact, the Bible says prophetically that many people will be deceived because he will be able to display lying wonders. Follow me. Doesn't the Bible say that the devil can appear as an angel of light? How many times does he show up in an area where we think it's Jesus and we don't know Jesus well enough to discern the difference? And we're following the wrong. But we thought we were following the right because it felt good emotionally. It might feel good emotionally, but you got to find what God is doing, not what your emotions are telling you. Whew, it got quiet in here. Okay, I'll move right along. And so we need, how do we stay on track? Because Jesus talks in metaphors and parables. And we find that in Matthew chapter 6, what part of the prayer, Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Right. Now, a lot of times on the surface, we say, oh, Jesus is talking. You hear people. He teaches us how to be content that all we need is enough to feed us for today. All we need is what will be enough for food for today. Really? Or maybe is there more to this story? Because at another time, Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they thought, oh, he's talking about bread. Have we forgotten? Did we bring enough bread? And we forgot bread and he had to multiply that boy's lunch and maybe that's it. And Jesus stops. I'm not talking about the bread. I'm talking about beware of the teaching of the Sadducees and Pharisees. He was saying one thing. They missed it. They needed a perception, a revelation of what he was saying. Jesus, when they brought him food one day and said, have you eaten already? Why are you still ministering? He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and complete the work. Wait a minute. He's talking a little different than what they were used to. And so when he says, give us this day our daily bread, is he talking about food? Well, that doesn't make sense because he's talking to farmers, and farmers have places to hold the gathering of the wheat or whatever, the barley or whatever that they harvest, right? God even says in the Old Testament, I'll bless your field and your storehouses. If you look throughout the New Testament, it's not about just having enough to survive the day. Oh, he's referring to manna, just enough for the day. No, the Bible says, give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Jesus himself, he had somebody who was a treasurer. You don't need a treasurer if you start the end of every day at zero. Right? At the end of the day, guys, the last thing we have to know is we have to make sure we have not a dime so we can start each day with zero. Makes no sense. Even Paul told Timothy to instruct those in your church that are rich with worldly wealth to not trust in uncertain riches, but in the true God. He didn't say tell them they need to give it all away and end it every day with zero. Well, he told the rich young ruler he needed to give all his money away. It's because the rich young ruler worshiped money. But even under the old covenant, which they were operating in, it says anybody who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay. See, what was he doing? Giving him the test of, do you trust God enough to do what he said he will do? If you will give, will he return? Well, I don't know. And the rich young ruler failed because he didn't believe that God would do what was outside of his own ability to make happen. So maybe it was something different. Maybe the bread is not food. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew, let's look at this. Matthew 4 on the screen. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's look at this. But he answered and said, is written not, man shall not live by bread alone. Here's a bread reference again. Don't live by bread alone. Well, what should I live by? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wait a minute. Now he's taking natural and moving it to spiritual. Don't live on just the natural. Incorporate the spiritual. Because the bread of life, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Bethlehem literally means in the Hebrew, the house of bread. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. So the bread of life, the bread of heaven is the Word of God. Give us this day, and we have to ask. You have not because you ask not, Jesus said. Woo! Look, give us this day. Give me this day the word that I need. Give me this day the word that I need. It doesn't mean you're going to hear a thunderous voice, and this would challenge some of us because if we don't spend any time in the word, the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus has said. We got to store that word in our heart for him to make it alive. Give us this day our daily word. Give me the word, the instruction. I like to say it this way. If you're a sports fan, if you're a football player, you know, you need a playbook. And when you got a playbook, the coach will call the play. You just don't get out there and do what you want. There is some strategy. There is some order. There is some structure. And the coach will see the whole situation. In fact, they'll have coaches at the top looking down so they see everything from above. And they'll say, this is what I see needs to happen. And they'll call it in. And they'll say, okay, got it. And they'll run the play. You need to wake up and say, God, you see everything. I'm on the field. I only see it from my perspective. You see it all. What's the play for the day? What's the play for the day? What's the play that you're calling that you want me to run? It doesn't mean you're going to get an instruction every day. But if you don't ask, you don't have. What's the play for this day? And you can have your plan and God say, I don't want you to do that. Do this. And you'll come out ahead. You'll come out moving forward. Powerfully, suddenly. You got time for one more verse? You'll come out ahead. Because God wants you to shine. For the benefit of others. For the benefit of others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Let's look at that verse. Amplified. And God, look at this, and God is able to make all grace, I like the, every favor and earthly blessing. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'm spitting in the face of religious teaching that has told you that you have to be less than average, less than society, struggle to make it, just trying to survive. That's a lie of the devil to keep you from reaching people. Well, you know, as Christians, we're second-rate citizens, and we can't be happy and have... No, God wants you to come out from among them and shine! 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 If you see yourself as a loser, let God change you so you can see yourself as a winner and shine! If you see yourself as a failure, let God change your vision to see yourself as a success and shine! If you see yourself sick, let God change the image and show you that you're the healed of the Lord and shine! Come to you in abundance so that you, catch this, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God wants you to shine to help somebody. Shine to reach somebody. Shine to feed somebody. You can't feed people if you're struggling just to get enough food for yourself today. And if you're there, don't feel bad. The future is bright for you. Get ready to shine in the name of Jesus. Shine in the name of Jesus. Shine. Hallelujah. Say, it's my season.
It's my season.
It's my turn.
It's my turn.
To surge. In Jesus' name.